Lemon Pepper Parlay is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook. You bet, you get with Caesars Rewards. Must be 21 or older. Welcome into the Lemon Pepper Parlay Podcast. I'm your host, Martin Weiss, joined here with the kid from Kansas City himself, Mark Gunnels. Mark, listen, man, I know, what was it, about when in the second quarter, as Cody Zeller is getting dragged up and down the court by the Serbian soldier himself, Nikola Jokic, you had to be feeling great about your Nuggets in five. How good were you feeling? I just want to just paint the picture of how good you were feeling in that moment. I know you were feeling way better than I was.
I mean, my honest, in that moment, I'm like, this game is over. I mean, they got up 15 points. I even tweeted, I said, the non-BAM minutes are really, really rough for Miami. I mean, Zeller's just getting thrown around like a rag doll out there. So, I mean, I thought there was no way they were losing that game. They got up 15, like I said. They're at home. The crowd is really into the game. They can feel they're going up 2-0 heading to South Beach. So, yeah, I had no concern. I was casually watching it at that point. I'm like, this game's over. Like, they don't have the firepower to come back. Miami, they're cooked. Jimmy Butler doesn't look engaged at all. Who else? Bam, you know, he's doing a little thing out there, but it's just not enough. Not enough juice. And then obviously the fourth quarter happened. So,
and it was a lot of juice. The juice runneth over in the fourth quarter as Miami comes back, wins 111 to 108 in game two. Game three is tonight. While you're waiting for game three, Mark Gunnels, you should go ahead and try to get you a gold cap from extra points. You know how you can do that?
Tell me, Martin, how do I get one?
You play the June Prop Culture Quiz right there. You get all types of fun questions on there like, ooh, here you go. How many rostered NFL quarterbacks will be featured on the TMZ website pictured at a Taylor Swift concert in the month of June? Over, under 1.5. Now, you may know or you may not know that Taylor Swift is in the midst of a world tour at the moment.
Yeah, so, I've heard.
She's working.
Yeah, you see that fake? You see that? Or the under? I'm taking the under for sure.
For sure. You're just confident. You just know that's Aaron Rodgers and nobody else.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. And did you see that fake rumor about her going into an Arkansas bar when Austin Reeves was there?
Oh my God. That's ridiculous.
The internet was loving that one.
Here you go. Who will win the BET Award for Best Female Hip Hop Artist? Do you want to guess first? There's selections.
Well, can you give me the nominees?
Megan Thee Stallion, Nicki Minaj, Glorilla, Ice Spice, Coi Leray, and Doja Cat.
Woo! I'm going to say Ice Spice.
Ice Spice.
I feel like it's her time.
Oh, it's her time. So this is her moment?
Yeah, I think so.
The only thing I think of when I think of Ice Spice is Cameron saying, Jordan Poole, you could have bought her a pizza. After the $500,000 date that was reported that happened. But Mark, go ahead. I think you got a good handle on this. Go ahead to extrapoints.com/arcade, log in, and play the June Prop Culture so you can get a gold hat. Right now, I'm pretty sure it's just you and Spaghetti who actually get checks from Extra Points and have not won a gold hat. So that's your new cross to bear until okay. So you got some work ahead of you. You know who also has some work? Actually, where do you want to go? 1-1, tied up series. It's a good thing now I found out the series has started because a road team has won. So that's good to know. The series has began. But after two games, where are you at? How are you feeling? Because we were on diametrically opposite sides of this. And I feel like however you walked into the finals as a fan or a better, you probably are feeling great either way.
I think as a better, I'm a little more nervous, obviously, because you got money at stake. That goes without being said. But if I take that away, just look at it from a fan perspective, I still feel really good. I mean, I don't think Denver played well at all. I mean, they played good in the first half, obviously, but that fourth quarter was just disastrous.
And they still had the first half, not gonna lie.
Yeah, and they still had a chance to win that game. Like, I really think it's one of those situations where Denver has to play well below their means to lose this series. I think if they even play 80% of what they're capable of playing at, and if Miami plays even higher than that, but I think the Denver's ceiling is just way higher. They have way more room for error, I should say, than the Miami Heat do. Because, like I said, they still had a chance to. I mean, if Jamal Murray makes that three, he had a pretty good look. There's no doubt in my mind they win that game in overtime. No doubt in my mind they win that game. So,
well, I mean, what gives you the confidence that that team who had just gone on, like, giving up, I don't know, they got outscored, what, like 20 points in the fourth quarter, something ridiculous like that?
Well, considering that Miami collapsed the last 3 minutes, and then if he make that shot, they would have all the momentum. We know how these games normally go. Like, when the game kind of swings like that, especially you're the home team and you force overtime, you're probably going to ride that momentum in those last 5 minutes, I think, and win that game. So that's where I'm at with it. Jamal Murray didn't show up to the last 3 minutes himself. I don't see him doing that again. Michael Porter Jr. couldn't even throw a ball in the Pacific Ocean. I don't see that continuing to be a thing. He's one of the best shooters in the league. I don't think he's going to continue to shoot 1-for-6 from three and have 5 points. I think that was his worst game he's had. He's going to have this entire series. So I'm not too concerned at all, man. Denver's the better team.
I mean, you could say it was the worst game that he had all series, but he also, like, you know, 5-for-16, 2-for-11 in game one. I feel like he probably would have had the same game he had in game one if he had just been allowed to play longer. Michael Porter Jr. only playing 25 minutes a game. Disastrous, I think, for the Denver Nuggets. And, like, that's the thing that I feel like people have overlooked because of this regular season. And I am now here. The regular season does not matter. I do not care. Do not bring it up to me ever again. Unless you're talking about the MVP, in which case I will argue to the death over why postseason success should matter in the regular season. But in the last 4 years, Miami is the team that has been here consistently in the playoffs, in the Eastern Conference Finals. They've won more games in the Eastern playoffs since Jimmy Butler got there since any other team in the East. Now, I know that hasn't necessarily turned into a finals win. However, they have. Like, Duncan Robinson, this is not his first finals. This is not Max Strus's first finals. This is not their first playoff run of major magnitude. Like, when we saw Denver in the bubble, the idea was, well, this team's going to be here for a while, right? Because they had Murray, who was young, MPJ, who was figuring it out. But at that point, he was completely lost on defense. And, you know, and he'd taken a lot of strides this year. But in terms of being battle-tested, this is the first time the Nuggets have had any real adversity in this postseason. And really, all year. I don't necessarily know if Michael Porter Jr. is just going to snap back like he had plastic surgery. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't necessarily know if he's just going to snap back like that, because there's not the I would feel confident about Max Strus not going 0-for-7 back-to-back games, because he's had big playoff games. He's had big moments in the playoffs. Hell, against Boston last year, they didn't phantomly review his 3-2-2. They might have made the finals that year. You know what I'm saying? That they went back and, you know, 3 minutes later, they're like, actually, Miami has one less point. I'm sorry. Like, wait, what? But I've seen these guys do it. I have not seen Michael Porter Jr. do it. And that right there, like, to your point of Jamal Murray sees that shot goes in, has 7 points in overtime, 10 points in overtime. I don't think anything out of the ordinary is occurring. Studer saw a shot go in. He gets hot. If Michael Porter Jr. scored 20 points in a game this finals run, I'd be surprised at this point.
Yeah, but I'm not even asking for 20. I mean, just give me an efficient 15-18. That you've been doing all postseason. And I think that would be okay for the Denver Nuggets moving forward. And like I mentioned, I think Jamal Murray is going to be more aggressive from the start. He was really non-existent the first three quarters of that game. A lot of it probably had to do with the way they're recovering. Jokic was one-on-one a lot, saw a lot of food, and he was being super aggressive. But I do think there will be some more balance act in tonight's game and moving forward in this series. I don't think you'll see Jokic score 40 again. And I think they're 0-3 when he scores 40 or more in the playoffs. So it's obviously something there. I think it's not the end all be all. I mean, I think if guys just make some shots too, like they can still win when he scores 40 points. But, you know, what take that stat for however you want to.
I kind of disagree. And I know that like Ramona Shelburne asked Eric Spoelstra and he starts talking about the untrained eye. And I'm a casual.
You got the untrained eye?
All I do is tweet about it.
You got the untrained eye, Martin?
Yeah, I'm a casual, untrained eye. I do not have 20/20 basketball vision. However, so I said this on Extra Sports. The tired version is let Jokic shoot. Make him be a scorer. The wired version is as many times Jokic shoots, that's less three-pointers for everybody else. When you look at Jokic's three-point number, three-point over-under, it's almost always going to be 1.5 or 2.5 because he's not going to shoot them. When he does shoot them, they go in, and they have the feeling of like you just got hit with a torpedo for 3 points, but he doesn't want to shoot them. And so what happened, like you see in the second quarter, they put Cody Zeller out there and it's like putting a sheep in the middle of a field as Godzilla is coming. Like there's no chance, but like nobody else is getting involved in the same way. Like you said, Jamal Murray was absent for the first three quarters. So much of his game is running off of Jokic's screens and getting the handoff and then boom, shot. Or getting the handoff to the rim, throwing the ball up to Aaron Gordon or something like that. But it's almost all of it is predicated off Jokic's moving. Like he is the center of the universe. So when he's not, like the more he shoots, the less Michael Porter Jr. gets an opportunity to go 0-3 to 2-5, right? He's in 0-3 for longer. Then he misses another one, and now it's one. Now he's 0-4, and he's only gotten 4 shots up in the first half, and now he's not playing defense. And then Michael Malone in his post-game press conference will let us know he's pretty much all talking about Michael Porter Jr. Because if I was him, I'd be like, oh, just call me, bro. You got my number. You know what I'm saying? Just call me. You don't have to talk to all these reporters about me every single day. You just hit me on the phone. But I think that's the real strategy. It's not let Jokic shoot and make it easy for him. It's cut the water off of everybody else because the 2 points that he scores are just as impactful, or the 2 points that he scores are less impactful than the 2 points that everybody else on Denver will score, or 3 points that everybody else on Denver will score, because he's going to get his regardless.
Yeah, and I think another point to add on to that as well, kind of going to the Miami side here, giving them some credit, because one thing we've seen from Denver this entire postseason that we're not seeing so far in this series after two games is them getting out in transition. Because those are possessions that you're not waiting on Jokic to post up and operate in the middle and have to run a set. You're running. MPJ is running to the left wing. Jamal Murray is running to the right wing. You know, you got Aaron Gordon in the dunker spot. Like, they're running. We saw them run the Lakers out the gym. Miami's doing a great job of getting back in transition and making them run a set offense to where you know Jokic will get the ball every possession in the half court. If it's a transition opportunity, he could bring the ball down the court in itself. And then now you're scrambling because now you're trying to find the shooters where they're at. Where's KCP at? Where's MPJ at? You know? So they're doing a really good job of getting back in transition and eliminating those extra possessions. If you looked at the first two games, I think Miami has shot at least 10 or more shot attempts than the Denver Nuggets in both games. That is huge, especially when you're the lesser talented team and I don't think you have as much firepower to have more possessions. That's working in Miami's favor.
Man, y'all going lesser talent, no firepower. This team all the way to a championship. They're going to be holding Jimmy Butler going to be holding the trophy, and they're going to be like, this Miami team is less talented and more and just undrafted players and all of that.
Like, I mean, do you disagree with me though?
Look, man, at some point I was saying we have to see what's happening. You know what I'm saying? Like, we have to, like, I get where all the rivals and On3 and then all these other ranking services had these guys ranked when they were coming into college. And I know how all the draft services had them ranked as they were coming out of college, right? But when I sit here and I look through the 16 or so games that Miami has played in this Eastern Conference, I don't know. 'Cause you know what? How many people on Milwaukee, for example, are having a 10.2 minute run in the fourth quarter like Duncan Robinson did? How many people on Boston? How many of the non-stars, I should say, right? How many of the non-stars are going to come out and have 12 points in the first quarter like Max Strus after going 0 for 7 in the game before from 3?
Derek White, he's had moments like that. Derek White,
but it's, I don't think that. But the idea that it's just like that the Heat are the little engine that could, like, I have to, you know what? Keep pushing it, because that's why I keep betting on them, keep making money. You know what I'm saying? It's like, keep pushing it. I'm fine with it. But
I love that plus money.
Yeah, like, but then it's just after a certain point in time, they're all playing in the same league. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're all here now. No matter how you got here, you're still here now. And I just look and I see Duncan Robinson doing a grit, like, y'all can't hear me. It's like, bro, like, I mean, either my eyes are lying or my ears are lying. And I know my eyes are showing me that this team just split on the road with the best team in the West all year.
Yeah. I mean, I do think there is something to that, where we keep doubting the Miami Heat and they keep proving us wrong. And we keep doubling back. And
I would like to say, you're saying we, like, you're involving me in here. I'm not.
No, when I say we're talking about them
in one round,
I'm talking about the general public. Like, I'm talking to America right now. I'm talking to Vegas. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But yeah, man. But to be honest, I think, okay, so I picked Miami to beat New York. That's the only series I picked Miami to win up to this point. But in this series in particular, I don't think I'm doubting Miami. It's more so the belief I have in the Denver Nuggets. Let's not act like they haven't been the best team in the playoffs throughout the entire postseason. They took out Minnesota in, what, 5 games?
I mean, they
got one. They swept the Lakers. They whopped the Suns. I know they won 2 games, but that wasn't really a series. Like, they've been the best team top to bottom from round 1 until now.
Is that true, though? But yes, I know everything that you just ran through is true. I'm not debating your facts. Like, they have easily demolished the Western Conference.
Yes.
But I mean, Miami took out 2 title favorites on the way.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? It's like they from 15-1 odds, they come up and take, you know, right now, the entire best player in the world conversation is in complete disarray at the moment, in part because of the Miami Heat. Like,
well, no, it shouldn't be. It should be Jokic without question. He's the best player in the world.
How many people were saying that before the first round of the playoffs?
No,
it was not nearly.
Most were saying Giannis before the playoffs.
That's what I'm saying. It was not nearly as staple as it is at the moment. And what if that big old Joker lose? No pun intended. What if they lose that final? Oh, man. It'll be a fun summer on the debate shows.
So, yeah, tonight's going to be interesting because, you know, Shannon said something very interesting today on Undisputed, and I agree. You know how normally when it's 2-2, that game 5 feels really pivotal?
Oh, yeah. This is a huge game.
Tonight's game 3 feels like a game 5. I agree with that. I was like, I don't know why, but it does. Why does it feel like? It just does for some reason. I don't know why, but it really does.
You know why? You know why I think, for real?
Why?
Because I don't think that anybody expected Miami to play this tough in the first 2 games. If you look at game 1, Okay. Because you look at game 1. Right. And we all know the adages at this point. the series doesn't start until a road team wins. You know, role players play better on at home than on the road. Like, you know, all of the different, all of these different whatevers. Well, game one, Miami played a whale of a game, came close to winning, and had Strus, Robinson, and Caleb Martin go for zero.
Yeah, they couldn't they couldn't buy a bucket.
Buy a shot. Could not buy a shot. And so just looking at it, which one of these is more sustainable? That these three of your eight rotation players are going to go scoreless, right? Or what Denver was doing. It's like, that doesn't make sense. Like, I feel like they're going to score more points. And then you saw what happened in game two. And I get that it was low-hanging fruit to be like, oh, if Duncan Robinson and Max Strus hit a three or two, then, you know, but it was also true. You know what I'm saying? And so I think that's really what it is. We're seeing a series that is much closer. I mean, Dave and Sal on extra points, they were Nuggets in four, Nuggets in five type. And that's pretty much across the board where I'm seeing people at. Right? There you go. Nuggets in five. So, like, when you pick Nuggets in five, the Nuggets beat the Timberwolves in five games.
Yeah.
The Timberwolves, a five-game series generally means the winner is outclassing the loser.
Yes.
Right? The winner is in a different class. Just in a, the winner is a senior in high school and the loser is an eighth grader. It's like, this is like, sure, maybe the ball will bounce the right way. You can kick it around and maybe it'll go in and get one of these games, maybe one. But that's generally how a five-game series would go. This one has not been that. And I think that's what ends up seeing, like, people see Miami. I thought that they expected them to get ran, at least in one of those two games. And I think that's why this game three feels like, yo, if Miami wins this, this is real. Like, this is no longer just like a fun bet. This is no longer just something that could happen. Oh, this is real life.
Yeah, and it makes me scared. I'm not going to lie to you. I know the crowd there in Miami is going to show up on time tonight. I have a good feeling they're going to be there 30 minutes before the game starts in their white shirts, looking like Tony Soprano or whatever. I don't know, whatever you want to call him. But, See, I think tonight, man, I really want to see, and I'm going back to this point. I just really think it matters. But I know Jamal's going to do Jamal. I don't think he's going to start off slow like that again. Jokic is going to get his numbers, probably get a triple-double. I need MPJ to not become unplayable because there's already rumblings about Bruce Brown starting over him if he has another stinker tonight.
Hey, look, I'm on Bruce Brown over, baby. I'll tell you that. I do so, not
so,
have faith.
So you're saying MPJ is going to have like another 25-minute night?
I don't have faith. I would say that if you're looking at something for MPJ, look at rebounding overs. But like outside of that, I do not have faith that he's going to be there.
So you wouldn't – what about his overs on threes at 2.5?
That feels like – you want to talk about low-hanging fruit. That feels like low-hanging fruit. It should cash 100%, which is why it won't.
Yeah, so I'm excited though. It's gonna be a big game tonight. I can't wait.
The one thing I do have to touch on, I've been shouting this from the rooftops. It's either gonna be Jimmy Butler or Jokic for MVP.
Yeah,
I still think that's the case. I think if you're gonna bet on Jamal Murray, you can go ahead and just send me your money. Like if you want to donate, that's fine. But Bam's putting together a little bit of a case here. Because for Miami to win, they have to go through him a lot more in using Jokic as a defender and making him run around. And then also not to mention, he's going to be guarding Jokic. Like they're, you know, it's all, as Jokic bring the ball up, they'll run guards at him. And then when Bam, like to get to the 3-point line, Bam will start checking him. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to have an impact. And I think that's going to have an impact on these people who vote for these things. So it's something to consider if you are a Miami guy like me, that the series value 2-1, you know, you could have got it at 4.5-1 earlier. So that's a little bit much, but I do think that, a little sprinkle on Bam for MVP.
It's funny you say that because I was just thinking, I was just thinking about that the other day. And it reminds me of that Warriors-Cavs series a little bit when Iggy won MVP because he held LeBron to a 35-point triple-double and still averaged, like, I don't know, 15 points or whatever he did. And I think even in this series, Bam will actually have more impact than Iggy did in that series because he's giving you more offensively. He's a playmaker as well, and he's a pretty good defender. So I do like that narrative there. And come on, if they're going to give it to Iggy over Steph Curry, why couldn't they give it to Bam over Jimmy freaking Butler?
Yeah, and that's the other thing. Jimmy Butler is not necessarily a minted star in the same way Steph Curry. He's not, you know, as much as I wish he was, because I love Jimmy Butler's game.
Yeah.
Actually, and I might be giving away a little bit of my parlay here, but I think that tonight is going to be a Jimmy Butler night.
Yeah, I saw your screenshot in the group chat. We'll wait for that. But yeah, I was like, oh, okay. I see how you're coming tonight. I think it's going to be one of them nights for Mr. Playoff Jimmy, huh?
It's one of those that's going to make me look like a complete idiot for saying that Bam might win finals MVP tonight. That's how it'll be. In about 12 hours, this audio will sound ridiculous.
Speaking of those two, did you see Jimmy mooning Bam when he was at the podium yesterday?
It's terrifying. It's terrifying how much fun they're having. It's terrifying. They are clearly having so much fun. They've been having fun since game one of round one of the playoffs. And like, that's the type of thing that, you know, okay, well, like, they lost game one of this series. They've won game one every other time. They were cool. No worries. Who's like, when I see something like that, it makes me wonder who's tighter. Because it ain't Miami. They're having a blast. They're on vacation, it feels like. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
they're hitting happy hour before the game. It's like, hey, I'll catch you guys there. You know, and just going out and dominating in the fourth quarter. Like, they are relaxing.
Yeah, I think Denver's in a good spot too, though. Because Jokic is a type of guy where he's going to make sure everybody's in line. I don't think he says much, but... You know, he's one of those guys you just respect. Like, you're going to respect Jokic because he just comes to work every day, does his job, so humble. And, you know, Mike Malone, you know how he is, man, playing the underdog card all the time. Nobody believes in us. They're not talking about us. They're still talking about the Lakers. You know,
that's the problem, though.
You think that's a problem?
Everybody does believe in them.
I don't think it's a problem. I don't think it's – I like it.
But that's the thing, though. Everybody does believe in Nuggets in five. Everybody around me, it feels like me and my boy Alex Monaco feel like the only people who are like visibly, actively in the public picking the Miami Heat to win this finals. It really feels that way. So like everybody believes to me in the Denver Nuggets right now. Like everybody's like, oh, Denver's supposed to walk through this thing, and then MPJ plays better, they'll walk right through it anyway, no matter what. And I just wonder what playoffs everybody's been watching, because Miami has not been walked over once. But I mean, that's kind of, to me at least, it feels like the prevailing sentiment. I don't know. I'm the only person that has Miami.
Yeah, but Mike Malone's going to find a reason to play the underdog role. He'll find something. He'll find some tweet from some troll or something out. Somebody out there that doesn't believe in them, that thinks they're frauds, right? Maybe some Lakers Nation people or something, you know.
I don't know. All they got to do is turn the TV on and see everybody believing in them. But let's take a quick break right now and then talk about some topics that are generally designed for midweek television at this point in time. Nothing to do with the games. We'll be right back.
Tickets to the game, merch, meals at iconic restaurants, stays at Caesar's Palace. All of this can be yours when you bet with Caesar Sportsbook. Win or lose, every bet earns reward credits, which you can redeem across the empire. Now, if you haven't started yet, register using code OMAHAFULL and then place your first bet up to $1,250. If you win, great, you keep those winnings. But if you lose, you get the stake back as a bonus bet. 21 and up only. Offer valid and must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming only. New users and first $10 wager only. Must register with the eligible promo code. Bet amount of qualifying wager returned only if wager is settled as a loss. bet, maximum bonus bet $1,250. Bonus bet expires 14 days after receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to the account within 7 days after the qualifying wager settles. See Caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. No one is stopped before you start. Gambling problem? Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, and Kansas, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Massachusetts, call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY to 467-369.
I want $1 million. You know what I'm saying? Like, me getting that this summer is about as realistic as Kyrie getting LeBron this summer to go to Dallas. Like, it could happen. Like, it could happen. I'm not ruling anything out. But as a betting man, I'm not, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to go ahead and lay big time on no.
Yeah. So this is where I stand on this. I truly believe this is a play for Kyrie to look like the good guy. Like, yeah, I want to stay in Dallas. You see, I'm recruiting LeBron James here, knowing that there's no real pathway of getting LeBron James unless you trade Luka, which is not happening. So I think it is a play in the reverse to where Kyrie could potentially come here, out here in sunny Los Angeles, to team up with LeBron James. That's what I think. I think it's a move to put pressure on the Lakers front office to go get Kyrie. I think LeBron has something to do with it as well. I don't think Kyrie and his camp would put it out there without LeBron knowing about it prior to that happening. I don't think so. He was at the Lakers games all postseason. They were shaken up. They've been hanging out. They're obviously really good friends still from their time back in Cleveland. So that's where I stand, because the Dallas thing makes no sense at all. They have no assets to trade to get LeBron James that the Lakers would want. So that's what I think.
I mean, it's just that. Sure. But why? Like, overall, like, my takeaway from all of this, honestly, is why? Like, there was a point in time where once Nick Young retired, Swaggy P, it was increasingly news over the dumb things that he did, right? Like, he would do, and now he's not. Use a better, different example. Antonio Brown. When Antonio Brown retired, right? Because Swaggy P was just doing dumb things like on the internet. You know what I'm saying? Well, nothing crazy. But like when Antonio Brown was exiled from the NFL, it was news with the things that he was doing. Until a point, he was no longer really newsworthy because he was no longer an NFL player, right? Kyrie Irving is not a winning basketball player. And he has not been for the last, like, 8 years, like 7 years. There's been an entire pandemic between now and then. And that's just on the court when he's there. Like, right now, I would have Austin Reeves as my starting point guard over Kyrie Irving. With no qualms, no hesitation.
Wow, you wouldn't have said that 2 months ago.
Yes, I would have.
You said he wasn't. Said he wasn't good.
No, I said he's an NBA player.
No, you just started saying that like two weeks ago.
All right, 2 weeks ago. All right, 2 weeks ago. 2 months ago. All right, very fair. 2 weeks ago. I wouldn't have said it 2 months ago. No, I wouldn't. But okay, I may have had the argument just off the fact that I know he's gonna be there. I know when I call out, hey Austin, he's gonna say, hey, what's up? What would you like me to do? You know what I'm saying? Like, he's going to be available. He's going to be available and in attendance. That's the major key for me. This is team sports, dog. Like, if you want to be someone who can show up half the time, go be a golfer. You don't have to golf every weekend. Nobody's making you. You know, nobody's making you go out to Wimbledon if you want to play tennis. You want to try it out.
You want to see Kyrie's driver?
I'm just saying, look, if you want to go, if you want to,
no, I get it.
Come on your own time, join the swim team, okay? And race the 100 meters there. But you know what you shouldn't be if you're on that in any other relay, because he's not dependable. And I can't see how any team that is serious about winning, save the Dallas Mavericks because of the boat that they're already in, would extend Kyrie any substantive amount of money and years on a contract.
Well, I'm only pushback.
All because of his mercuriousness. All because of not his game. I'm familiar with his game, but I'm also familiar with his tweets.
Well, my only pushback here would be the fact that we're talking about him with LeBron James. We've seen these two win together before. Granted, it was 7 years ago. I know you're going to say that. I know. I get it. But at the same time, you're talking about him not being available and, you know, being, you know, just unreliable. And I get all of that, right? But I think if there's any umbrella for him to be in to where I don't think that would be a problem is if he's under the LeBron James umbrella. I really believe that. Because that's the one time we've seen him not be on the other stuff, right? Like, you look at all the other stops. Boston, it was some crazy stuff going on. The Nets, we know what happened there. It was only 30 games with Dallas, so we can't really properly judge that yet.
You know, I feel like you can probably judge the fact that this team was a four seed.
Well, he was available. I'm talking about availability.
Okay.
He was available. That's all I'm saying. He was available for Dallas. That's all I'm saying. I'm talking about just pure availability here. But I think, but with LeBron, we haven't seen none of that stuff. So why am I crazy to think that if you pair him back with LeBron, and we obviously know LeBron's has a 2-year window left, he's trying to get another ring. Why wouldn't I believe that Kyrie would not be on his best behavior here in LA with LeBron as his teammate once again?
Because since the moment that he left Cleveland, he has not been. He's been on his behavior, not his best behavior, just his behavior. He does whatever the hell he wants. That's the part of the reason why. Like, LeBron does not have Michael's secret stuff in Space Jam that he can just paint over everything and now the Monstars, become great play. You know what I'm saying? It's not how it works. Like,
Space Jam 2 was pretty good. But
it's just, first of all, no, it wasn't.
I think it was better than people give it credit for. I thought it was pretty good.
Well, how much credit are people giving it? Because if they're giving it any more than C-minus credit, then they're giving it too much.
We can move on.
I fell asleep with that movie 3 times.
Oh, you actually tried to watch it 3 times?
And after the third one, I was like, why am I doing this to myself? He's just LeBron. I don't need to do this. He's just a basketball player. Why am I sitting here expecting Charlton Heston to walk off the screen? And then no. This isn't Miles Teller. This isn't George Clooney, Brad Pitt. No, it's LeBron James. And this is a moment like that. I just sit back and look at myself and be like, this is my fault. I'm the blame.
It's a me problem.
It's a me problem. Exactly. This is a me problem. Let me turn this off and never, ever look at it again. Speaking of LeBron, his former head coach, Frank Vogel, lands in Phoenix. I think it's a good, decent hire. If nothing else, it'll be an easy fire in 3 years when it doesn't work.
Or are you saying it's not going to work? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying if in fact it doesn't work, nobody's going to be like, oh, you got to keep Frank Vogel.
Oh, yeah.
Like, people were like, how do you fire Monty Williams? You know what I'm saying? It's like, I don't think anybody will have the same energy. Sorry, yeah. Frank.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it was a pretty good hire. My only question is the fit with the personnel on his team and his coaching style. Obviously, he's a defensive guy. He likes the guys to be gritty and hard-nosed. Because that Lakers team that won in the bubble, you had a lot of tough, scrappy guys. I mean, you had Dwight Howard banging down low, not worried about points and stats, just really just fighting. Rondo was on his last leg, but he was really gritty. Danny Green, you had a lot of hard hat guys on that roster. I don't think this Phoenix Suns team has that. I mean, who is it? It's definitely not DeAndre Ayton. I mean,
I think that's what it is. They're going to figure out just exactly who DeAndre Ayton is quickly and in a hurry.
Yeah, he feels like a quick trade deadline candidate. I don't think they'll trade him in the summer. I think they'll give it at least half the season, but he feels like a February trade candidate. I could totally see that happening. As far as Kevin Durant, he's at the age now. He just doesn't have it to give it to you on the defensive end at that high level like we saw him do when he was with the Warriors. He was a rim protector there. So I'm concerned about that. Now, I think Devin Booker does have upside defensively. I think he could turn into a two-way guy.
He was good. He was a good defender this postseason.
Yeah, he's improved. He's improved. I think he has another level he can get to, though. I could see him being a borderline third-team all-defensive guy. I really do if he fully buys in. I really think he can. Now, the other elephant in the room is Chris Paul. I mean, obviously, I mean, how reliable is he? How many games can you chalk him up for over the season? They're going to have to address that backup point guard position because Cameron Payne is not it. He's not the guy that you want out there starting 30 to 40 games and potential playoff games. So I want to see them address that area and try to get some more depth if they can, because obviously when they made that trade for KD, they just killed their depth. I mean, Mikal Bridges would have been perfect for a Frank Vogel team. That would have been a nice fit. Him and Cam Johnson, I would have liked that a lot, but obviously they're not there anymore.
You know what I think? I think I'm going to, instead of me saying, yo, you know who would be a great fit? Brandon Ingram. I'm going to think I'm going to go and say, use Mikal Bridges going forward, because he would be. He's one of those guys to be a good fit on any team, right? Yeah. Who can't use a 6'6 guy who can go from 5 shots a game to 15 shots a game, still be efficient? You know what I'm saying? Like that. Who can't? You know? It's a great place to be. It's a great place to be. Frank Vogel, though, interesting guy. I used to look at him in that bubble championship and just be like, like, are you one over your head? Are they listening to you? Like, and it's just, there's no, like, there was no evidence that they weren't, right? There was no evidence that, like, you weren't seeing, like, Jason Tatum waving off Joe Mazzulla, for example, right? Like, you weren't seeing that. There was no evidence of it. But it just, when I was watching, like, are you in charge here?
Remember that narrative that was being pushed, like, midway through that season? They were saying that Jason Kidd is the de facto head coach because he was assistant on that staff.
Now look at him. Now look at Jason Kidd.
But no, now, I think all in all, it was a good hire. I think it's good for their culture if everybody buys in.
Speaking of second row Joe, though, Sam Cassell, is he officially the Boston head coach in waiting? Is that how that works?
Yeah.
They hired him as an assistant.
Yeah.
But, it's officially coaching waiting if you mess up, Joe.
Yeah. Yeah. This is 100%. 100%. This is a classic head coaching waiting situation. Don't let them start off like, I don't know, 12-8, 11-9. Jason Tatum's disengaged, waving off Joe again. Don't let that happen. Marcus Smart causing ruckus in the locker room, throwing chairs. I can 100% see this happening after the first like 25-30 games of next season if they start off slow.
Yeah, we'll see. It's interesting though, because Joe Mazzulla had the best offense in the regular season for a non-insignificant point of time. Like, Boston was rewriting the record book for the first 40 games of the year. So it'll be interesting to see. But I do think that I would love to know if Joe Mazzulla hired Sam Cassell or if the Celtics hired Sam
Cassell. That's a good point. That's a good point. I would love to know that as well. I'm thinking it's probably the Celtics, knowing that Brad Stevens is up there at the top. I think he likes his control from what I can tell. Obviously, since he gave up being a head coach, I think he likes that seat. So I think he made that call. I think that was all Brad Stevens. That's just my guess.
But it changes the math on it, depending on who did it, right?
Yeah.
Okay, then maybe there's a little bit of loyalty here. Maybe, you know, there's a connection in the past. He's like, yo, Sam's like, I don't even want the head job, right? You know what I'm saying? But himself, Boston. Fire me, bro. If that's how, if that's how we gonna rock, just fire me and I'll take my guaranteed money and I'll go home. No, I don't need this. I don't need all this drama coming back and forth. So this makes me smile in a very sick and twisted way that Victor Wembanyama is making his debut in Sacramento, why not Vegas?
Why?
Well, they've ruined the Vegas Summer League for guys like me. I used to DVR Vegas Summer League back in the day when I was at the crib. I used to DVR it because it was fun, man. You would see like, oh, this guy plays for, I remember seeing Brian Cook, who was a 10-year vet at that point, playing in a Summer League game. Like, what are we doing? You know, and especially there's nothing on TV at the time, right? So it's a great time, especially if you're not watching baseball. So I had always said, I want to go out there. I went out there the year before, 2 years before Zion was my first year ever. Walk right in. Nobody's tripping. Nobody's bothering you because people are generally there for work or they're like super crazy fanatics. Because like, you're in Vegas, so you're gonna spend 8 hours in a basketball gym, right? Yeah. In Las Vegas, all right.
Yeah.
So, but Zion's year, which was compounded with Lonzo's the year before. So Lonzo was what got it started, believe it or not. All the Lakers fans came over, made the drive.
Oh, yeah.
And the Lakers games were crowded. Then Zion came. Everybody had to get their eyes on Zion. Good job by you, NBA. Don't make this Vegas Summer League all of this. Send them to Sacramento. Let's see who goes there.
Hold on. So he's not playing in Vegas at all?
Well, he's making his debut in Sacramento.
Oh, it's just the debut in Sacramento. Okay.
But so think about it, though. As trends have progressed, Wemby's going to play, 55 games this year maximum? He'll probably play 3 games in Sacramento, and then, my finger hurts.
Hold on, why?
For the rest of the
season. Why do you say only 55 games? That's really low for a rookie.
You expect him to come in and play a lot of games?
Why not?
Because this is the NBA.
He's a rookie.
This is the NBA. All we're going to hear about is, you know, his body type is not necessarily built to withstand. He's got to put on more weight.
They're going
to
low manage a 19-year-old?
I would be shocked if he plays.
I think he plays 65 or more.
I would put it. Okay, so 65. See, this was tough. There's going to be a push to get him to play 65 minimum.
Exactly.
So he qualifies.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
But I would. All right, I'll put 68.5. I'm taking the under.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. Yeah, I think you forgot about the 65 rule. That's
no, I didn't forget about the 65. I didn't forget. Okay. I think there's going to be a push to make him play more. But this is bro. If there's anything we've seen in the NBA, they don't like to play their guys. They want to try to set it all up for the postseason run.
Well, they have to make the postseason first. Now we're talking about the San Antonio Spurs here.
No, I agree. Don't confuse my words here. I agree with you. I think it's ridiculous. However, it is what it is.
Okay.
I think gas prices are ridiculous now too, but I'm going to put some in my car because I need it to drive.
Yeah, you might have to do that.
Yeah, you know, so I think it's absurd that he would not play, that I'm sitting here thinking 70 games are realistic, you know, 68 games are realistic. But I think it's not that. I really think he goes under. I'd be surprised if he plays over 70 games. I'd be shocked. Jaw on the floor, shocked.
Yeah, I'm between, and I said, the, I'm between,
I, was, I said the summer league games, he plays less than 5.
Yeah. I mean, summer league, yeah, they're definitely not going to overwork him in that. But, yeah, he'll put on the show, though. He'll be out there for a few games for the crowd. It's going to be crazy. I think this is going to rival Zion and Lonzo for Vegas. I really do.
You know, man, I've heard it year in, year out. You know, this is the new hot stuff.
You don't seem too excited.
I'm not. I don't like watching these broomsticks where, you know, you got to tell me that I'm looking at him backing people down in France. And everybody's like, look at how positionless he is. And I'm like, dude, this guy wouldn't move PJ Tucker off the spot.
Well, you know how he will move him off the spot? Not posting him up. He'll just face him up. Hey, have you seen his handles? Have you seen his Victor's handles?
He's 7 feet, 8 feet tall. The ball's got to travel like 13 feet to the ground and up. I feel like if I'm Chris Paul, the Chris Paul type, legitimately, yeah. I'll just stand there and take the ball from on the way back up. That's how long it should take for it to get from it.
It's not that easy, Martin. It's not that easy. He has that thing on a string. He has that thing on a string, man. I can't wait to see Victor. Victor, I'm here for you. If Martin's not, I'm all in. Victor's going to be a star day one. I can't wait.
So was Chet. Remember him? Remember Chet? Remember that? That was just 365 days ago around this time.
He's coming this year. He's coming this fall.
Yeah. So I've heard.
Talk soon.
All right. You tell me how many guys in this NBA finals that you see right now are seven in the NBA playoffs that are over 7 feet tall and super skinny, not named Anthony Davis. And Anthony Davis is strong. And not to mention that, he is strong. Like, he can go post some people up. He can guard Giannis, Jokic in the post. And then mention, he's always hurt.
In these playoffs. Probably
because he's so dang on big.
Kevin Durant, does he qualify?
Kevin Durant hasn't played 65 games in the last 3 years.
Oh, no, I'm just naming names in the playoffs. That's all. I'm just giving you names. Kevin Durant, who else you got? Nobody in these finals.
But Kevin Durant, since he popped his Achilles, hadn't played over 60 games in a season.
No, I know. I'm aware. I like to give guys, until I see them get injured, I like to give them the benefit of the doubt. So I'm not gonna put that on Victor until I see it.
Congratulations to Zion Williamson. Seems to have a baby on the way. Glad to see he's moving on with his adult life. Or maybe now that he has a son or a daughter coming down the pipe, he will lock back in professionally. And I've heard, I don't have any kids, but I've heard that when you have a kid, sometimes it's like, oh man, it's go mode now. I got to really get to it because I got to provide for my family. So maybe that'll work. Who knows? Maybe he'll get on the court. I'm still taking Ja over games played next season. Over Ja.
Ja might not play a game next season. So,
well, will Zion? Who knows? That hamstring, it's only been 6 months.
Can we make a friendly wager on this right now? I'm taking Zion in a heartbeat.
Over games played?
Ja's at least going to get 30, 40 games off tops. And then you got to consider the games he's not suspended. He's not going to play every single game he's not suspended in. So he's going to miss like damn near 50 games.
All right. I bet you a 6-piece of chicken wings that John Morant plays more basketball games than Zion does in the 2023-2024
All right.
basketball
season. Clip that. We're locked in.
All right. And with that, we haven't done our lemon pepper parlays yet. Let's take a break and then do our lemon pepper parlays. All right, Mark, game three tonight.
Whew.
In formerly FTX Arena, currently some Kaseya Center, Miami, South Beach, Biscayne Bay. Nobody's talking about how the lack of altitude could impact the Denver Nuggets. They play at altitude. You know, nobody's talking about the proximity to the Atlantic Ocean and all the sand and may have an impact. You know, Jokic is from Serbia. They don't got beaches in Serbia. Murray's from Canada. They got beaches in Canada, but it's really cold there all the time. I don't know. Aaron Gordon played in Orlando. That's more of a Central Florida thing. I don't know. Can they adjust to South Beach? Things to think about.
That was really cute. I'm taking Nuggets money line for my lemon pepper parlay, and I'm pairing that with Jokic getting a triple double. I'm getting that at +195. Last game, I don't think he even had a double double. I don't think he even had 10 rebounds. I know he didn't have 10 assists. So
I want to say he had 40 and 11.
Oh, he did. Okay. So he did have 11 rebounds. Okay. But he only had like 4 or 5 assists last game. So he didn't get close to a triple double. I think he gets that tonight. I think he's more getting his guys involved. We know he's going to get the points. He's going to get the rebounds. The assists will be there. Michael Porter Jr. will make some more shots tonight. Calling it now. Hit the over on 2.5. I'm not playing that, but that's an extra play for you guys. So, like I said, Jokic, triple-double, Nuggets money line, plus 195. Let's go.
For my lemon pepper parlay, I think here it's time. It's time for a Finals Jimmy to show up. It's time. I mean, Bam has acquitted himself well in the first two games. I hated the way he played game one because, you know me, my biggest beef is, you know, if the defensive strategy is sag off of you, then you need to get better. if the strategy is, like, nobody's saying sag off of Jokic for that matter. It's make him a scorer, not let him shoot, right? There's two very different vibes there. So if the vibe is let him shoot, then I don't want you on my squad, generally speaking. Although he did acquit himself much better in game two. I think you play well in game three, but this is the game. Okay, role players play well at home, all of this and that. I don't care. You go in, this, like you said, Shannon said earlier, this game three has a game five feel. Go in there, do like you've been doing all postseason, Jimmy Butler, and rip their freaking hearts out. I'm taking over on Jimmy points, 25.5. Taking over on Jimmy rebounds, 6.5. Parlay that at Caesar Sportsbook. That tidies up at a nice 192, just about 2-1. I'm not touching the assists. Okay. You're going to be shooting.
You're going all in on Jimmy Butler tonight. Okay.
Second round Jimmy, as I was calling him the other day. Second round Jimmy.
Hey, I know it's looking bleak because I assume Nuggets would win the first two at home, but I'm sticking with my guns. Nuggets in 5. They win 3 straight.
Whew. Well, I bet on Heat in 7. Exact result 2 days ago, so that shows you where I'm at. I wonder, though, Michael Porter Jr. in Miami? It's a long time to go without going to live, without hitting wet willies. I don't know. He seems like the type of guy you might be out there. The rest of them, not so much.
Jamal Murray he'll be out there with his chest out with a nice looking shirt on.
He just might. You know, the Miami Heat won't be. But game 3 tonight. Good luck, pal.
See you guys next week.